By definition, ambassadors are representatives of their sovereign and their nation. We have the privilege to discuss and represent our sovereign, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom for his glory. Join us as we seek him first. Welcome to Ambassador Talks.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ambassador Talks. Ambassador Talks exists to glorify God by the pursuing of truth in God's Word and applying it to the issues and challenges that are facing the church today. Ambassador Talks is brought to you by Ambassador Baptist Church of Hudson, North Carolina. For more information about the church, visit ambassadorbaptistchurch.org. I'm your host, Matt Baker, and on the mics today with me, as always, is Nathan Phillips and our pastor, Robert Setzer. And the last few weeks, we've had quite a few new listeners, Nathan. And so if you will, give us a little introduction to the podcast here.
Matt, like you said, we've picked up some guests along the way and had some really good discussion. And we have had some new listeners. And so I just wanted to take a second just to say, you know, what we are, who we are, and focus on those things for just 1 second. And I just want to say first, I don't know how you guys would phrase it, but I think we're a little bit of an issues podcast. We mm-hmm. talk about current events. We talk about things that matter in relation to the church today. We're also a theological podcast. We talk about theological issues. We talk about things that influence the church in that way. But I think as we move on and we keep growing and we keep realizing the potential and seeing the growth of this podcast, we want to impact the local community in a big way.
Absolutely.
And so our guest tonight, as Matt will introduce here in a little bit, is a local pastor. And, you know, if you're a church member and you're listening, we're not trying to steal you from your church. It's not that kind of ministry. It's not anything like that. It is something that is meant to sharpen our mindset and our skills and be a ministry for each other. I think, you know, we have a tendency to, focus on other churches and be like, you know, they do this here and they do this there and all that stuff. And that's not the point. We want to talk about our people that are locally around us. We want to talk about the things that we believe in and the issues that we are passionate about.
We got to remember we're on the same team.
Oh, absolutely. And so I just wanted to give that short introduction there of what we are if someone's not listened before and give that by the way of introduction there, Matt.
Well, that's great. Thanks, Nathan. In the past few weeks, we've discussed evangelicalism, and it's been a great discussion, but we want to turn our minds toward a different subject tonight. And joining us, as Nathan mentioned, is a local pastor from our area, Pastor Nikki Waters of Poovey's Chapel Baptist Church. We're always excited to have pastors on with us because we want this podcast to be a local church resource to minister to our surrounding area and abroad. So we're so glad to have you with us, Pastor. And when we think about the church, we often talk about reaching out, but so often, gentlemen, as you would see, and out in the culture, many churches leave it at that. They just talk about it. And our pastor, Pastor Setzer, has mentioned many times about the great need to minister in the community. And Pastor Nikki, you have been a solid example of that in recent years. So by way of introduction, Pastor, tell us a little bit about your ministry at Poovey's Chapel.
Okay. I came to Poovey's Chapel when 1996, so I've been there over 20 years. You know, I've been pastoring since I was, that makes me, 28?
That's right, yeah.
God has blessed us at Poovey's Chapel. I often tell people that the Lord just allowed me to walk into what he was already doing had people with a heart for the Lord and heart for missions. So we tried to kind of incorporate those things to where we are right here. Sometimes I think it's easy to... we want to support missions, and we do around the world, and even here in our own country. But sometimes I think we kind of miss the fact that we're called to that same mission.
That's right.
To reach people. And that's one of the things that we've kind of, started trying to focus on and look where we are, look where our community is, and so to give us that vision that we needed.
That's wonderful. So how did you get your church family excited about outreach ministry?
I think one of the, that's one of those things that you have to revisit.
Sure.
You know, you can be excited about it and things going well and you're reaching people. And then all of a sudden you kind of get, sometimes we get involved in so much of the church, we forget that there's people out there that need to be reached. Mm-hmm. And we forget our real call in life as to reach the lost and then to disciple them to do the same thing, to reach the lost. So getting a church to see that vision, you got to go back to the Word. You get back in what Jesus said. And then, you try to lead people to realize what the greatest mission of all is, and that's leading people to know Jesus. And and helping them. We've done some different things in our community. We went house to house, multiple times. We did surveys, just asking people if they go to church, one of the greatest tools that we've had and seen work in getting people excited in our church family is when you go out and you see people who don't go to church or people that don't know the Lord, and you begin to ask them, what's something we can pray with you about? Because it connects us, and helps other people to see that people in church, number one, we're not perfect. Mm-hmm. Number two, we have struggles, but we have the Lord. And, we can offer somebody in those same situations, hey, there's hope because you know the Lord.
Yes, yeah, sir.
That's great.
Pastor Setzer, we know, and we've talked here on the podcast before, that we have a... I mean, let's face it, we have an uphill battle in this country today. I mean, we've got a lot of issues, a lot of different things that we have to overcome, I guess, in the way of ministering to people. How do you think we do that here, and how do you feel about outreach, and, what's your, kind of plan to do so?
Nathan, I don't know that there's a bad way. I've come to find out in Caldwell County, in this area right here, and I think that Nick would probably agree with me that a lot of people, when you encounter them, will say, "Oh, I've been saved. I've been saved." Have you found that to be true?
Oh, yeah.
And so, obviously, I think going door to door, house to house, it's a very viable method. Bus ministry, if that's what you feel led for your church to do, is very viable ministry as well. But I think we have to also try to expand our thinking a little bit and pray in about some other ways to try to reach people. Because I think there has been, there's a lot of churches, especially in the Hudson area.
Right.
There's a lot of churches in this particular area. I could literally just start walking from right here and walk to a number of churches. Mm-hmm. And so it's not that there's a lack of, a gospel witness on the radio. There's plenty of gospel witness on the radio, also on the internet. And so I think a lot of it is simply trying to encounter people. Maybe mm-hmm. through meeting needs, maybe through, any variety of ways.
That's right. And that's kind of what jogged my thinking about this subject is last year I saw you at the Butterfly Festival.
Oh, yeah.
And I walked out there and I spoke to you and I just sat there and I thought about how many churches were not out there. How many churches, there was a number of churches out there ministering to people. At the Butterfly Festival, which is for those of you who are not from around this area, it's a local festival that happens the first Saturday of every May of May every year, and there are churches out there that just out there ministering to people, giving the gospel, giving them a bottle of water, meeting a need, as you said, Pastor, yeah. And using that as an avenue to reach people. If we're not reaching out, what are we doing?
Right.
Why are we here?
Yeah.
And so that's what jogged my thinking about that. So, Pastor, this question is for both of you. Both of your pastors and been in ministry quite a while. What is the advantage of having your church in the community? What does
Nikki,
it do?
Why don't you speak first about different types of forms of outreach?
Okay. Well, our church, we've we have several different kind of ministries. Mm-hmm. We have a food bank. Which we do once a month, the last Saturday of every month, where anybody can come. We try to meet that need. Mm-hmm. Again, we try to help people and look for that place of what is your real need. What can we pray with you about? We've had a lot of connection of that through our community.
Nick, is that mainly non-perishable items that you provide?
Yeah, it's both.
It's
both. Yeah.
Okay.
It's frozen foods. It's we have. Then we have non-perishable stuff also.
I see, okay.
So then we, we have clothes closet where, we've been able to minister to families where they've had, a fire or, where they just have some people have moved in the area don't have any clothes, and we've, God has allowed us those avenues
right.
to be able to touch people's
Wonderful.
Lives.
That's right.
And then, you know, we try because I guess something struck me probably, oh, man, it may have been 15 years ago or 16. We were in a meeting talking about, some things at the church and, you know, some things we did like a fall festival and all this that was, that we did in our community. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, you know, we spend this amount of money. And it was like, oh, no, you know, that's a lot of money to spend, you know, for somebody to eat a hot dog and jump on something inflatable. But, you know, the thing that happened to me, it was in that meeting. God spoke to me and just said, you know, we are supporting missionaries that are doing the same thing in communities just so they know people. And it was like, okay, like, you know, the light bulb turns on, you know, okay, God, you know, it's easy sometimes as churches just to be in our walls and forget that
Absolutely.
The real reason we're here is to come to church. We get, you know, God feeds us and fills us for a purpose. And that is to reach people that's not there. And, you know, we've done several things in our community, and we always try to be, if something's going on in the community, we try to be involved in it. I'll call them, say, hey, what can we do? Just because we, you know, we feel strong about our community and what God's doing
Amen.
In the community and opportunities he gives us to
That's
reach
wonderful.
Out to people.
That's right. Wonderful. And I think one of the neat thing about those first two things you mentioned, the food bank and the clothes closet, you know, not a ton of church resources have to be invested to start that.
Right.
You know, even, I guess, I don't know how you usually do it, probably have an announcement at church saying, hey, if you've got extra clothes,
yep.
bring them to the clothes closet.
Oh, yeah.
And that way we can give them out. That's wonderful.
Who doesn't have a shirt they could give away?
Right. I've got a couple of shirts that might be too tight.
Yeah.
Well, I think that is a very important ministry. I mean, after all, the Bible does tell us to remember the poor. I mean, that is something that's something that's always been on my heart as well, as something like, you know, a community meal, you know, something like that, just to like, it's not that hard to fix a bunch of spaghetti for somebody or something like that. I'm just, you know, throwing out ideas, but like, there's a lot of people around here that, you know, that can speak to and that can help. And especially if a couple churches would get together and do it, you know, collectively, then you could really make some progress and forget about all this goals of like competing for members and things
that. No.
You know, I mean, you know, but I feel like that's a lot of issues sometimes. Like, we just don't want to step on somebody's toes, or we just need to get together and just, you know, really minister to people. And,
you know, Nathan, I've got a question for your direction. we're sitting right on the cusp here of a pretty substantial community college campus. Mm-hmm. We can walk to the campus from our church. Yep. And I think we would all agree that for the most part, secular colleges are not terribly friendly to Christianity. Mm. And a lot of their students, I believe, are somewhat confused about what biblical Christianity is about. What can we do to have an apologetics? Man, how do you go about that? How do you talk to young people on college campuses?
Wow, I think it's a tough sell a lot of times, because they just don't want to hear it. I mean, you mentioned Jesus on the internet, and they just like turn you off, just like, you know, that. I mean, it's just you're done. You don't know what you're talking about. I was reading an article the other day about some archaeological finds, and it was like the top three most important finds from last year in archaeology that support biblical evidence. And, you know, one of the first comments was, well, the Bible was written by humans. I mean, that's the first comment on the article. It's not, wow, this is interesting history. It's not, the Bible was written by humans.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, in that line of logic, your post is written by humans, so I can't believe your post that you just wrote. I mean, we have to learn how to, like, speak to these, like, but you'd be surprised how many church members just kind of shut up when they say, well, it was written by humans. And they're just kind of like,
Okay, but
I don't know what to do.
When you were at Southern Oak, you guys actually went over to NC State or Carolina One and just began to encounter. How did you do that?
We went to UNC Charlotte.
Okay.
And we kind of, it was for our evangelism class at seminary, and we kind of just started. I think each group could pick which question they really wanted to start with. And then you kind of split off on your own and just kind of engage people. And I didn't want to ask them, you know, if you die tonight, we go to hell or anything like that. I didn't want to say that. Just like, you know, what are your thoughts on the afterlife? That was how I kind of started. I said, you know, what do you?
So did they engage with you? Did they talk with you?
Yeah. When you phrase it kind of noncommittally, like we were just dressed normally, just like any other college student on the campus, and just went up there and was just like, yeah, you got a couple minutes just to answer some questions. And like we didn't even really engage them in a ton of debate. We, you know, eventually told them where we were from and what we, you know, believed. But the first initial question was, what do you think about the afterlife? And if they said, you know, I kind of like to be a little bit jarring with things, just my personality. But, you know, and they said, well, I don't believe in hell. I was like, well, where do you think Adolf Hitler went? Oh, well, he's got to be in hell. Well, you just said you didn't believe in hell. You know, he's just like, well, then it gets them thinking. So, I mean, I think community outreach in that way is tough, but I think we have to learn how to talk to our culture that we've got around us. And like you said, I mean, both of our churches represented on the podcast tonight are near colleges near, I mean, high schools that are teaching the same exact line of reasoning that, you know, you can't trust anything that the Bible says because it's...
So, Matt, we got a lot of work to do, don't we?
We do. Right. We do. And that brings us to our next question. Pastor Nikki, say there's a church or it's a pastor listening and he wants to start outreach ministry. He wants to get their feet dirty. He wants to get the church excited about it. What's some of the first steps that he can do to help get his church involved and some easy things that they can do to get their feet wet with outreach ministry?
Number one, I think, is the key to it all, and that's to start not just running out and going to doors or whatever, but you got to start praying for those that don't know the Lord because you got to have direction.
Sure.
You know, just like what was said, you're encountering with questions that there's no answers for sometimes, you know, and all that. And then from that, I think God puts a burden in us to begin to want to see our friends reached or our community reached. And then, you know, doing door to door is awesome. I mean, we've done our whole entire community several times in 20 years. And then now what we're doing right now is we're using, you know, just our relationships, you know, where you are, inviting people to come to church.
That's right.
You know, and then engaging in everyday conversation and just letting people know, hey, you can live for Jesus through wherever you are,
you know,
and whatever's going on. And I think the key to outreach is people's heart getting to the place that they know that their coworker or their friend or their spouse or their children, whoever it is, number one, we got to realize they need Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they need rescuing. And when that becomes a reality to us, then we try to find ways or questions to ask or, you know, that opportunity. We look for that opportunity to share Jesus with them.
You know, Nikki, I think you're absolutely right. There are people out there, believe it or not, they have needs and they do want to talk about it. I know today a lady came in for help. She needed some food. And it gave us an opportunity to speak. And she asked me, she wanted to pray with her. You know, right. So give us opportunity to present the gospel to this lady. So there are people. Not everybody that comes in is interested. You know that.
Yeah. Yes.
But there are those who have a spiritual needs in their heart, and they do want to have prayer or talk about it.
Yep.
Matt, I've kind of got a question here that I've been kind of stewing on for a while, and it was kind of brought to my attention by Daryl Bach, who's a professor at Dallas Theological. And he's got a podcast that I listen to pretty regularly. But he was talking about this same type issue and community outreach. And we've already hit on a ton of these things that I'm probably going to mention here. But Pastor Nikki, I'll kick it over to you here in a second. And Robert can give his response as well. But what do we feel about the future of evangelism and outreach? We've talked earlier just a few minutes ago about door knocking and things like that, and we do that basically every week here at the church, right? And we're still doing it every Thursday night.
No, we're not now.
Not in the winter, but I know in the summer times we used to go about just about every week, and that's like we've mentioned a very effective method. It gets your name out there, it gets your face out there, more importantly, and your desire to care about them and lead them to the Lord. But with all that being said, you know, sometimes in our culture, it seems like we're kind of averse to too much interaction. People don't want to lift their heads too much from their phone. They don't want to answer you if you ask them questions. They don't want to do things like that. So his point that he was trying to make was that he thought that evangelism might need to swing in the way of more a missional approach, kind of something you hinted at a while ago with, and I just want to get your guys' thoughts on that and like what that would involve. He was basically saying that, you know, like missionaries in the field do, go and get involved in their country and their little community, start trying to minister to those people, start trying to just get involved in their lives and kind of realize that it may not be a one-shot kill kind of thing, for lack of a better term, just like, you know, witness to them, they get saved. It may be more of a, I mean, maybe years. I mean, just building relationships with people and you know, watching them slowly start to, you know, turn towards, you know, spiritual things. I don't know what you guys think about that, but you guys can sound off on that.
Yeah, I agree. I think when you go through the Gospels and you watch Jesus, he was always in the community. He was always using every circumstance they were in. You know, whenever you look at, you know, they're walking by a cornfield, he starts talking about the corn, you know, and and use that. And I think something that I got saved when I was 17 in 1985. And, you know, the very next morning I was out with a group of men 6 o'clock in the morning passing out gospel tracts, you know. And so it's always been a passion. I've done it, you know, from coast to coast, from here to, you know, California and back on the streets. And still, I mean, right now I got a pocket full of tracts to give people. I do it every single day. I try to do it, you know, everywhere I go. But I think the people that you got to have some intention of reaching them, not just all I'm doing is exposing people to the gospel. But when you're talking about what you are, is that place of building a relationship of, you know, whether it's inviting somebody to your house or a few people to your house in your neighborhood and just, you know, for a meal or just a time together. And then, you know, letting them see that Christian people are genuine people, mm-hmm. you know, that we're not just out here looking at everybody else thinking, whoa, we're good and they're bad, because mm-hmm. we're not, you know, we have to be saved by the same Savior.
That's right.
You know, the church itself needs to be involved in community activities. That's where people realize, hey, you know, yeah, these are real people. Mm-hmm. And then they can see that, you know, as you have to tell them, you know, it's not just, oh, they look at your life and everybody falls down and gets saved because they see your life. You know, right. it's us. Jesus said you're saved by the word. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the word of God putting into them. And so, you know, when you give them that word and that encouragement and, you know, just trying to lead them to know the Lord. And I think doing that through, you know, it may be events. You know, we do a lot of events and things at our church ourselves. And, you know, and I know other churches do. And I love it. I love to see people getting involved in the community, because that's where you're going to touch people's lives.
So. I think the tough thing with that and what he brought up as well, Professor Bach did, was that it's not like it was probably, you know, 20, 30 years ago, maybe even longer, that, you know, you could say, you know, are you a sinner? And a person might get kind of convicted of it, and they might, you know, any common, you know, John Doe out on the street, you could say, you know, have you sinned? And it's like, well, yeah. But anymore, people are just like, what sin?
Mm-hmm.
So I think outreach in our sense is going to have to come with a little bit of some caveats, a little bit of some explanations now. It's just like, well, what do we mean by sin? And a lot of times we don't stop to think about that. We're just like, you know, are you a sinner? Did you, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that approach. I mean, it's the gospel. I mean, all, you know, all have sinned, but, you know, you go over to the college campus next door and they'll be like, well, what's sin?
Yeah. I think along with that too, Nathan, we have to, in the church, we have to, tear down some, or deconstruct some misconceptions, some straw men, that's been posed against us, that, you know, that we're a club, we're just about ourselves, we're not really interested in nobody else.
Bunch of hypocrites.
You know, we have a code of legalism type of laws. Mm-hmm. That we're not. That last thing we are is a club. And, of course, you know how we feel, you know, around here. that there is only one race. It's called the human race.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And so we have to work on these types of things and let people know, we believe in speaking the truth. It comes out of the Bible, but we want to always speak it in love. You know,
mm-hmm.
And so
that's right.
I think sometimes we have to work a little bit. I know I just saw the other day. One of the men that you subscribe to, Matt, his name evades me, Tom. Anyway.
Rainer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and sorry. So he's out there, and he threw a question out about, what's the first thing that comes to your mind about Baptist? The number one word was legalism.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh.
And so that's not fair.
No.
You know? Because, you know, we talked before. Westboro is also known as Baptist, I hope that we are pretty much diametrically opposed to what they outwardly stand for, you know. We're about Jesus. We're about Jesus Christ, the love of God, and loving people. We're about grace, but we're not about, we're also about truth.
Right.
And so I think we have to help people to understand, you know, who we are, too, and what we are not, as much as what we are.
Oh, yeah.
That's
right. And now you're dealing with, you know, you're dealing with a generation now that haven't been in church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I grew up, I mean, you talk about church, or you talk about sin, or you talk about Jesus. I mean, they've got some kind of knowledge of it because either their grandparents went and took them or their parents, you know. And but now you got we have a whole generation that really, for the most part, has not been in church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you start talking to them and it's just like what you said, you know, you have to do a lot of explaining because they have no foundation. And, you know, we are their foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we presented to them? How are we shining to them? You know?
I had a discussion the other day with someone at work and it was with another Christian and one non-Christian. And he kind of laughed off the fact that this other guy didn't believe in evolution. Just like, well, how do you not believe in science? You know, and we're dealing with a generation that their theology is learned by pictures on the internet, and you know, we've got to do a lot to fight that. I mean, that's a little bit off the community aspect of the podcast, but in the same vein, it's right along with it, because you have to know your community. You have to know what they, you know, think and how they think. So I think it's pretty important for us in the church to be educated.
That's right. One of my favorite speakers and teachers is John Maxwell. He's a great teacher on leadership and a great teacher. He's a great preacher as well. And he describes something as far as community and leadership as your sphere of influence.
Absolutely.
And when we say community, we don't have to talk about Lenore, Hudson, Sawmills. When we say community, we can say the people on your street that know you and see you every single day.
That's right.
People that you wave hey to when you come home from work, and the people that you work with every day that see the real you pretty much 40 hours a week plus more.
Yeah.
Maybe see more of you than they want to see. And so that's your sphere of influence. And that's what we're talking about when we say community. And we have to reach out. And it's not just by events. It's not just by putting on a great play at church. It's not just by being involved in ministries. But it's by shining the light of Christ where you are right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I think one thing that we failed to mention tonight is that community outreach, in as far as the church, is mutually beneficial. Because when we as the church get excited about it, when we get involved, it breeds more excitement and more involvement. It just takes people taking that initiative and doing it. And I'm excited to see what God does through Poovy's Chapel. I follow you guys on Facebook, and I love seeing the events. I'm excited to see what our church does as we do different things this year, even as far as community outreach goes. And the Lord willing, we'll see a great harvest of souls.
Amen.
And souls added to the kingdom for that purpose. And well, that wraps up our time for this week. And Pastor Nikki, thank you so much for joining us.
Amen.
And we've had
thank
a great
you.
Time.
Thank you.
And you're always welcome back to hang out with us and discuss with us. We hope this discussion has been beneficial for you, the listener. And so if you have a question, email us. Nathan, what's the email they can reach us at?
AmbassadorTalks@gmail.com.
AmbassadorTalks@gmail.com is the best way to reach us with a question and or comments. And you can also follow us on Facebook.
Yeah, or comment on Facebook on our Facebook page.
We share these episodes each week on Facebook and on Twitter. And so you can follow us there. And if you have an iPhone, you can subscribe to the podcast and be regularly notified each and every week with our new episodes. So we thank you for listening to Ambassador Talks. where the discussion is outside the box but inside the Word. And thank you for listening this evening.